This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Remember that movie in the 90s about the Jamaican bobsled team starring John Candy? When Cool Runnings came out, my young daughters could not get enough of Jimmy Cliff's hit I Can See Clearly Now, which was on the soundtrack. Little did they know that I'd had my own love affair with Jimmy Cliff 25 years earlier, when he and reggae first arrived in America in a big way. Jimmy Cliff is about to put out a new album later this year, and he was just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he is here with me today. Jimmy Cliff, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much.
So you've been around for some time now. Tell me about when you were a kid growing up in Jamaica in the countryside in the 1950s and early 60s. What was that life like? That must feel like a very long time ago to you at this point.
When I was a child growing up in Jamaica, it was a great life. You know, Jamaica had great rivers and springs and mountains with green fields. And I would go with my friends and spend time at the river. We would be singing songs for all the different kind of activities that we have. So it was.
And you had many rivers to cross, literally.
Absolutely, yes.
What kind of music did you listen to as a kid?
I listened to our indigenous music, which was like mento or calypso and all those other songs that we had for different kind of activities. However, when I had access to a radio, I started hearing American music, which was like rock and roll, R&B, jazz, country.
So you could pick up those stations from places like Florida and the American South and Cuba?
That's correct. Florida, New Orleans, a lot from New Orleans. I even remember one of the stations now is stuck in my head, WINZ. I don't know if that station still exists, but yeah, we look forward to tuning into that station at night. And yeah, and a lot of other stations in Florida and Cuba, yeah.
And you had a kind of classic discovery. You were a kid discovered on the street, essentially, right? Tell me about that.
When I left the country and went to the city, I had some songs I wanted to get recorded, and I was going from various producers to producers and didn't have an opportunity. And then one night I was walking by one street and I saw a place called Beverly's, and I just had one idea for a song called Beverly's, and I wrote the song right on the spot and went into the store and they were closing, and I sang the song for them, and they say, wow, what a great voice. And that was the start.
And then around the same time, when you're just barely a teenager, you happen to meet the other great figure of Jamaican music, Bob Marley. How did that happen?
An artist came by the name of Desmond Decker, and we took his songs and passed it, and he got it recorded. And he was working at a welding place along with Bob Marley, and he went back and told Bob Marley that he got his song recorded. And he met this guy called Jimmy Cliff, and so he sent Bob down there, and Bob came with his songs, and we sang them. I was playing the piano, and that was the beginning, and we became good brothers and respectful, artistic friends all along the way.
And this is the early 60s, mid-60s. Did you feel as though you were inventing something new? Did you have a sense at the time that, wow, what we're doing here is really going to become huge?
Jamaican artists and musicians, we were playing a lot of American music. Mm-hmm. And we wanted our own identity because we were not getting the respect that we felt was due in our own country. And so we went into the studio with this kind of frustration, and we never knew what we were going to play, but we just bang, 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 and it came out like that. Well, personally, I never knew how far it would reach, even though I had a global view that I wanted to be as global as possible. Vietnam, 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 Vietnam.
Bob Dylan once said that the best protest song he'd ever heard was your 1970s single called Vietnam. What was that song about?
Well, as a writer, you know, I am sensitive to social, political situations that are going on this planet. And that was one period of time when that Vietnam War, it touched me. I had a friend in Jamaica who got drafted in the American Army.
Uh-huh.
So combination of all of those things made that song.
I remember when I first became aware of you and reggae music simultaneously. You were my portal, my introduction to reggae music when the movie The Harder They Come opened in Harvard Square in Cambridge, Massachusetts in the summer of 1973 and then ran for my entire college career and then some. The soundtrack was amazing, but you also act. You became a movie star at the same time playing this poor boy, Ivan, from the country who wants to be a reggae singer and falls into a life of crime. Yeah. Just to remind people, this is an early scene we're going to hear a clip from when Ivan is practicing for his big audition in a church late at night.
One, two, three, four. Up high, up in the sky, waiting for me when I die.
Yes.
And as sure as the sun will shine up.
What are you doing in my church at this time of the night? I'm playing all this kind of music in my church. I'm going to call the police to have you arrested for breaking into my church.
We are a key in our preacher.
A key?
That is The Harder They Come. You're in a church playing this music that is the minister in that scene doesn't consider God's music. Was that the kind of church life that you were raised in?
Absolutely. You know, when I decided that I wanted to go into music, it was a complete no-no to my family because they were really very pious Christians. You know, they followed the Christian doctrine to a T. So exactly like we saw in the movie there.
How did your parents feel once you became successful in as an artist?
They were happy. They were delighted. But particularly my father, when I started to become famous in Jamaica, he said, God gave him that gift. So he didn't acknowledge that anything. He just said, well, he's doing it because God gave it to him.
So. Could you play a tune from that soundtrack for us?
Okay, well, that guy, Ivan, came to the city, like most city kids, with an ambition to make something of their life. And this is what that kid had in mind. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try, try and try. You'll succeed at last. Rome was not built in a day. Opposition will come your way. But the hotter the battle you see, it's the sweeter the victory. You can get it if you really
you must try, try and try, try and try. You'll succeed at last. Persecution you must bear. Win and lose, you've got to get your share. Got your mind set on a dream. You can get it, though hard it may seem now. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try. Try and try, try and try. You'd succeed at last.
That is Jimmy Cliff playing a song that is one of the maybe dozen songs that exist that make me involuntarily start bouncing my knees and my body. It's how wonderful to hear you play that. And how young your voice still sounds.
You know, my voice is my instrument, so I take care of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
A couple of years ago in the UK, the Tories, the Conservative Party, adopted "You can get it if you really want" as their slogan, which took a lot of sort of was a disconcerting moment for lots of people. How did you feel about that?
No, you know, music is like the air that we breathe, you know, or the water that we drink, you know. It belongs to everyone. And
right.
You know, the word politics, poly, means people,
uh-huh.
And tick is a blood-sucking parasite. So politics are the people's ticks. They prey on the morals of the people. So whichever side use it, they're doing what their nature is to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jimmy Cliff, thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed.
Jimmy Cliff's new album, Existence, will be out later this year. And you can hear an exclusive sneak preview of the song Coming and Going, performed live at Studio360.org.
So as sure as the sun will shine, I'm gonna get my share now. What's mine? And then the harder they come, the harder they fall, one and all.
Studio 360 is a co-production of WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International. Our production team includes
Vital Malad,
David Krasnow,
Michelle Siegel,
Derek John,
Jenny Lawton,
Pike Medinowski,
Rob Weisberg,
Aaron Calabria,
Jess Tiao,
Michael Guerriero,
Carrie Barber.
And our theme music is by David Van Tiegum.
Studio 360 is funded in part by Ken and Lucy Lehman, who believe that winning workplaces respect, reward, and invest in their employees. And by the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art.